Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We went into extra innings this morning, and that's good. We needed to. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Great is your love, great is your mercy, great is his. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to be with us, Lord God. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and our sisters that aren't here today, that you would meet them right where they're at. Father, draw them to you, touch them, heal them, restore them, Lord. We pray your will be done in each one of our lives. Lord, you are building a temple of praise. You are building your body that will be strong. It'll be holy. Lord, it'll be separate from the evil of this world. You told us to be holy as you are holy. And so we say, Lord, make us holy. Holy. Make us holy. Make us like you. Transform us, Lord. We want to be like Jesus. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to have your way in our lives today and each one that's here. Holy Spirit, we ask you to take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Lord, we pray that our eyes of our understanding will be opened today. We pray that every good and perfect gift that comes from you will be released. We pray, Lord, for your healing virtue to be released right now, to touch those, Lord, who are sick in body. And we know, Lord God, that you're able to make all grace abound. We know that you're able to do all things, Lord, for with God nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible to them that believe. And we believe, Lord, all things are possible. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, it may not appear that way, but there is a hunger in this generation for something authentic. You know, they want the real. They've seen the fake, you know, but they want the real. How many here want the authentic? Yes. Amen. How many know that God wants to reveal himself to you? Yes. Amen. He's got more. Hallelujah. And we keep saying more to come, more to come, more to come, because we know there's more to come. So every time the Lord does something, we need to, first of all, be careful to give him thanks. Yes. Amen. Gratitude opens the door for favor. Do you want God's favor in your life? Have a heart of gratitude. Mm-hmm. Even thank him in the little things of life. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, Father God. I thank you for those who have come out this morning to be a part of this gathering, Lord. And we pray that we would, once again, Lord, hear your voice today, that Lord, you would speak through me today, reach through me today. I pray, Lord, that you'd release the grace we need right now to be nourished, to be built up, strengthened in the faith, that we will abound, Lord, in good works for you, Jesus, as our hearts burn with your love. I pray, Father, that your love will be shed abroad in our hearts, the love of God that would motivate us to reach out to others. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we're not trying to do this from a legalistic standpoint, but from a loving standpoint, Lord. We want to operate from your heart, Lord. And we want your heart in us. Lord, give us your heart for people. Give us your heart for the harvest. That the love of God will be our pursuit in life. Thank you in Jesus' name. Title of the message today is Pursue Agape. Now, it's such a, I've used this title, Pursue Love. I'm going to call this Pursue Agape. And the Bible says that God is agape. He is love. Okay? And the world's love is not the same as God's love. Right? The world's love is a conditional love, often a touchy-feely love, an emotional love, eros love, you know. And there's different forms and different types of love in the Greek. But the highest love, the love that exceeds all other loves, is agape. And that is the love of God. The love of God that was demonstrated for us on the cross. As God so agapeo, he loved the world that he gave. And a person who gives, amen, from the right heart, the heart of love, amen, is a person, obviously, who is filled with the Spirit of God. When you are filled with the Spirit of God, amen, you are filled with the love of God. Amen. And when the love of God is motivating your heart, you will love people because God loves people. And we can't say we love God who we don't see if we don't love those who we do see. Amen. But when the love of God is shed abroad in your heart, you will have love for people. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:1 is our text today. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So the apostle admonishes us to desire spiritual gifts. Is it important that we desire spiritual gifts? Should we be praying for spiritual gifts? Absolutely. God wants to give gifts to his children. He's a good father. Amen. And he knows that we need his gifts. But we are supposed to be pursuing love. Okay. So when we talk about that, are we pursuing a thing or a person? You see, in true Christianity, it's about Christ. It's about a relationship. Amen. With the Lord. So when we are walking in love, we're walking in him. When we're pursuing love, we're pursuing him who is the embodiment of love. All right? Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. Amen. And God is love. And it's not like the world. The world's love is hypocritical love, you know. Sometimes people fake being loving. How many know you can act loving but not be loving? You can act peaceful but not be peaceful. You know, what God desires is the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Amen. And it is actually the fruit of him who is love. All these fruits, amen, on the wall there, they come out of him who is love. All right? So everything that we need comes from him. Amen. Flows from his heart. Everything we need that pertains to ministry needs to flow out of the heart of God and not out of our head. Amen. I know we can put together and formulate and ministries and do things for God, but what God really wants is for us to partner with him and do life together with him. So we're walking with God, amen, and not just working for God. When you walk with God, you will produce the right kind of fruit. Not the fruit that we conjure up on a Sunday morning to make everybody think that we're all that if we're not. But the true authentic love of God, amen, will exude. It will be diffused from those who abide in him who is love. Think of yourself as a diffuser, amen. One of those sticks that goes into the perfume, right? And as you abide in him who is love, guess what? The fragrance of Christ will be emitted. And so we are to reflect him. We are not to be the object of attention. Jesus is to be the center of attention. Amen. And the Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. Amen. Not to the vessel, but to Jesus. So we are to desire spiritual gifts. But in the context of that, it's talking about pursuing love. So in 1 Corinthians 13:1, how many know this? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And I just have to say, I've been in some circles where they did a lot of tongue talking, but they were as cold as a dead fish. Amen. When the love of God is burning in your heart, amen, it's authentic love. It's good. It's like being by a warm fire on a cold night. It's like, oh, yes, the atmosphere is good here. I think I'll just hang out here. And that's what it's like hanging out at the feet of Jesus when we worship. And how sweet it is when we come together and we're worshiping. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord is moving among us. And it's just a beautiful thing. Amen. Because he is really the one that satisfies the deepest longing of our heart. God wants us to go deeper into him. He wants us to worship deeper into him. Amen. Not just to sing the song and clap and sing along, but he wants us to pursue his heart. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. But don't get the cart before the horse. Don't be pursuing things of God, but pursue God. Amen. And out of that relationship, the other things follow. Mm-hmm. You can ask for these things, amen. But what God really wants is our heart. And though I have the gift of prophecy, verse 2, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, agape, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, even doing these sacrificial things. See, if it's not motivated by the love of God, it profits nothing. And though I give my body to be burnt, but have not love, it profits me nothing. How many know that there are people willing to give their life for a false god? Amen. But all the gifts of the Spirit are important. And we need to remember that. And we should be moving and functioning in the gifts of the Spirit. But we need to understand that they are temporary. They're only for a season. All right? And I believe we're in the season where God is using, amen, his gifts. Amen. He's distributing them. And to those who are willing vessels that want to be a vessel for him and want to operate, amen, and do life together with him. So, yeah, we got to have these spiritual gifts because we have present needs. How many here, just a show of hands, have received a healing from the Lord in your life? I don't know if there's anybody here that hasn't received. Almost everybody here has received a healing from the Lord. Yes. Amen. And what was that? That was a gift of grace. Amen. And so it's important to remember that these things, though, are only for a time, for a certain season that we're living in now, and soon they will pass away. All right. But the love of God is eternal. God is eternal. And I believe that any church that is built on the love of God will endure the test of time. We'll be able to stand. Amen? If we're built on doctrines and programs, no. You may have a structure, but you're not going to have the life because the life is Christ. Amen? And that's who we pursue and that's who we want, amen, to be moving among us here and being charged here is the Lord himself. But we need the presence of the Lord. And we need to pursue agape. We need to pursue the heart of God. And out of the heart of God flows all authentic ministry. Amen? It's not from my head. Amen? You can join any club and you can do good works. You can serve food. You can go to a soup kitchen and those are good things. Amen? But if it's not the motivation of the heart of God, if it's not flowing out of the heart of God, then it's worth nothing in eternity. The only thing that's going to endure is that which we've done in agreement with the will of God for our lives. And God wants to reveal himself to the world through his people. We are an expression of him, diffusers of Christ in every place. And I believe that these gifts are wonderful, but they don't sustain you. Remember, Israel had witnessed the miracles of God. Huh? They saw the wonders of God in Egypt. And very quickly thereafter in the wilderness, they began to say, you know what? I don't like this. I don't like what God is doing. And Moses, why did you bring us out here? Did you bring us out here to kill us? They just witnessed 10 tremendous miracles, amen, and the deliverance of the Lord out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb. And now they're in the wilderness, and very quickly they are already turning around in their minds and saying, it's better to go back to Egypt. How many know, again, that miracles by themselves are not enough to sustain a person? We have those times that we can reflect on and remember in our lives where God did move and God did do things. And sometimes we can encourage ourselves in the Lord, amen, based upon what he's done in the past. Amen. But there comes a time when you need to move on in the future, amen, and what God has for you today and say, those things were wonderful. Thank God for what he's done in my past, amen. It may be able to encourage somebody else in the presence. I can give my testimony about what God has done, and God can do the same for other people, amen. But God wants to see him today. He wants us to see him and what he's doing today and partner with him today and walk together with him today. Amen. And that means that I need to be in fellowship with him. Amen. And when I am abiding in him, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, and I'll begin to desire the things that he desires, and I'll hate the things that he hates. Otherwise, I'm just going by the rule book of do's and don'ts. Well, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm supposed to do this. But when you're motivated by the love of God, it's like a fire, amen, of love burning in you, a passion for God and a compassion for your fellow man. When God is working in your heart, you're going to love people. I know there are people who were once burning for Jesus, and a series of things have happened in their lives, and they've been derailed. And I've heard people come and say, you know what, my heart is so hardened now. I can't even feel God anymore. I want to tell them, listen, God can change that for you too. God can restore you. God wants to burn in your life again. You just need to turn to Him, amen, in repentance. And let Him do that work that only He can do. How many know that that old wineskin sometimes can get brittle, amen, and inflexible? We can just get stuck in our ways, amen. But God has some new wine He wants to pour into our vessels, amen. And so that old wineskin needs to be reconstituted with the oil of the Holy Spirit, amen. And the oil would be applied to the wineskin so that that brittle wineskin would be reconstituted. So it will once again become flexible so we can receive, hallelujah, the wine of His presence and be a vessel for Him that is useful. In His hands. Come on, somebody. God wants to restore people. You see, the enemy comes along and says, you've blown it. You've been too bad. You think God will accept you now? And I will say yes, because Jesus said, those who come to me, I will no wise cast out. You just need to turn back to the Lord. That's it. You don't have to go all the way back to the beginning and start all over again. You just need to make a course correction. I was off course. I'm getting back on azimuth again. Amen. I'm getting back on the straight and narrow. I'm looking at Jesus. He's the one that's leading me. Amen. We need a love for God's presence. See, people that love God's presence are people that love God. You can't say you love somebody and not want to be around them. You can't say you love somebody and don't want to talk to them. Amen. Anybody here pray? Have communion with the Lord? Enjoy His presence? Remember the church of Ephesus? At Ephesus? It was an active church in every way. They were doing everything. They were involved. But they had drifted away from the most important thing, and that was the love of God. So the Lord commended them on their good works, but He said, but all these works of service are good, but you've left the main thing. How many know Jesus is the reason? Yes. He's the main attraction. He's why we're here. I want to know Him. Yes. I want to know Him better. Yes. There's no lack of gifts, no lack of service, or even love for ministry. How many know you sometimes ministry can take the place of God too? You get so busy doing things for God that you forget God. I've seen some people that were doing ministry and they were miserable in ministry. Because somehow God was no longer in the picture. They were just doing stuff for God. And they weren't walking with God. Is that possible? Yes. Amen. Thanks for the confirmation. He said in Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have this against you that you have left your first love. Do you know when Christians drift away from the Lord, the first thing that happens is we start to become selfish again. It's all about me. It's all about my needs. What's in it for me? Right? How many know that Jesus didn't live like that? He's our example. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. Jesus was selfless. He didn't come to be served, but to serve. And He gave His life away. He gave His life away. A ransom for us, for many. And He says, as I've done unto you, I want you to do likewise. And He told His disciples when He left, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Follow in my footsteps. I've left you an example. Love one another. Serve. When you are in love with God, when the love of God is burning in your heart, you will have love for people. If you don't have love for people, it's because you lack the love of God in your heart. I'm just going to say it straight out. Those who abide in God's love live selfless lives. Amen. They live selfless lives. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Love never fails. Whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Tongues, they will cease. Knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. What is that which is perfect? The word perfect means teleos. It means to be made complete or of full age, maturity. So the time will come when the gifts will no longer be needed. But let me say this, we do need them now. Now, there are those who say, well, they've already gone away. What a sad way to live. Amen. Not believing that God has anything for us today, except that we're just going to be miserable, I guess. He's a good father. Amen. How many know that God wants his children to be joyful? How many there's joy in his presence? How many know depression cannot stand in his presence? I'm going to say it again. Depression cannot stand in his presence. Amen. All I need is him. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So depression, well, I'm depressed. Quit saying that. Say, I have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. So be happy. Don't worry. You're complete in him. You see, in his presence is that joy, that strength, that help, that peace. It's a peace that bypasses our intellect. Amen. Can you really put into words adequately the peace of God? Not really. We try. Amen. But it's something you experience. How about love? Can you put love in a test tube and examine it? Some scientists would try to do that. In this test tube here, we have love. Well, I'll be a test tube for Jesus. Amen. He can fill me with his love. Hallelujah. But that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for that empty place to be filled that only God can satisfy. Amen. That longing in the heart. People are looking for hope. They're looking for paradise. We're looking for heaven. Come on. That's what people are looking, a place where they can have paradise even on earth. So they go on vacation, say, let's go to Hawaii. It'll be paradise. And as soon as they get out there, a bug bites them or they stub their toe or, you know. Well, so much for paradise. There's bugs in paradise here. But what you need is you need heaven in your heart. You need to know the love of God in your heart. And the peace of God that passes what? All understanding. So that it's not something you can really express adequately in words. But it is a peace that you can know when you are in communion with him, relationship with him. So God wants us to praise. Amen. He wants us to pray and seek him and draw near to him. If we will draw near to him, he will draw near to us. And in his presence, there is a fullness of joy. All of a sudden, the problems that seem so big shrink. And now you're seeing things from his perspective. That's what I was so upset about. Come on, somebody. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. It's you, Lord. All I need is you. All I need is you, Lord. It's you, Lord. Oh. Remember the old chorus? He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Oh, I love that. Let's sing it again. He's all I need. He's is all I need. Jesus is all I need. You're all I need. All I need is you. Thank you. You just take a moment and say, Lord, you're all I need.
Lord, you're all I need. Mm.
Hallelujah. Now I want you just to tell depression, get out. I reject you in Jesus' name. You are not welcome here. Mm-hmm. This is a depression-free zone. You know, we're going to be perfected in love. And the day is coming when we shall see the Lord Jesus face to face in all of his glory. But while we're here, he gives us his Spirit to comfort us, to guide us, to lead us into all truth, even to show us things to come. He's not left us alone. Are you glad his Spirit is with us, his Holy Spirit? What is the goal of our faith? The goal of our faith is to be like Jesus, the perfect one. To be completed in his love, to become mature in the love of God, to have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts so that we can express or diffuse the love of God. Hallelujah. You see, sometimes we think it's this idea of, well, I'll just try to be more loving. How does that work for you? That works as long as everything's going your way, right? So, no. No, you just can't try to be more loving or more peaceful or more good. You know, the world does that, right? The world knows how to act loving and peaceful, right? But an actor is a hypocrite. You may not be all that, but you're trying to make people think you're all that. Well, I want to be the authentic, amen? And I want God's authentic love in me, and I want it to be an expression of his heart through me and something that is real and something that you just can't fake, you can't make it up. It's like, it's just Jesus. You know, I remember my brother leaving one time from a Sunday evening service, and we just had a blast in the Lord, and he went out to the convenience store, and the clerk says, "What's wrong with you?" Because he was just smiling ear to ear. He was happy. A happy camper. And he says, Jesus happened to me. Hallelujah. And so I know we have valleys, we have difficulties, we have struggles in life. But the Lord says, come to me with all that. Amen. Cast all those cares on me. I'll carry it for you. Amen. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. He's lowly in heart, isn't he? He says, you'll find rest for your soul. That's what we need, is just him. You know, sometimes the people that have the least amount of stuff are the happiest. Isn't that true? Because they found a joy that this world could not afford. And they're not trying to derive it from stuff. Amen. The stuff only lasts for a week or two and it's more stuff, right? Well, that was nice. Now what? Right? But the Lord is not like that. The Lord wants to be the one to satisfy the longing of our heart, which is we need love, we need joy, we need peace, we need all the things that are really him, the fruit of who he is. And we want to be the ones that are bearing the fruit. We bear fruit because we abide in the right atmosphere. Come on. In the right environment. Well, I'm going to go out and be more loving today. No, you just abide in Christ and you will be more loving. That's why you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of God shed abroad in your heart. 1 John 4:17, love has been perfected. That's the same word. All right? Telios, among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. Question, are we like Jesus in this world? Well, I'm growing to be like Jesus, amen. I'm not all that, but God's in the process of making me like his son, amen? Amen. We're being transformed from glory to glory, amen. From faith to faith, Keep your hand to the plow. Don't look back. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, gifts and ministries should be embraced. God gave them to the church. They're necessary for this dispensation of time, but they should never be the end goal of our lives, as some people are just searching after signs and wonders. Come on. What we want to do is we want to seek after the Lord. We want to pursue love, pursue agape, and then desire or eagerly desire what? Spiritual gifts. So once we come to this place of completion, the Lord's going to return from heaven for his bride, his church. Amen. A prepared bride. Amen. We won't need these things anymore. When that which is perfect has come, who's that? There's only one who's perfect. Amen. And that which is perfect is God's order. Amen. Wherever he is, it's perfect. And when the body of Christ comes to that state, that place of perfection or completion, it will have been perfected in the love of God. Now, I want to say this also because an understanding of our identity in Christ is important. All right? We need to know who we are in Christ, right? We know that. And an understanding of the power and the authority we have in Christ is important. All right? God wants his children to know who they are. As an heir of the throne, he delegates to us authority and gives us his power, amen, so that the gospel, amen, can be preached in the power of God for the manifestation of his spirit, amen, to such a degree that the people, the watching world, will realize there's more to it than just words. So we need to be believing God, amen, for the gifts and for the ministries of his spirit. Amen. And for the miracles, and those are great things and we need them today. But the most important thing is that we would pursue the Lord himself. That's what he was talking about. The Ephesians, amen, were doing the right things, but he's saying you left the most important thing. It's like we don't have that fellowship we used to have. We don't have that relationship we used to have. Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they would know the love of Christ. Hear it. That what? Passes knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What? Love of Christ and fullness of God. All right? So the great demonstration of love and the greatest expression of love was Jesus dying on the cross for you and me. For God so agapeoed the world. It was a self-sacrificing love. It was not a natural love. Naturally, we're selfish. And when we drift away from the relationship with the Lord, from the love of God, we naturally become selfish again. Come on. We naturally become irritable again. Hard to get along with again. Come on. Prone to temptation and the world, the things of the world again. And we need to abide. We need to stay close. If ever there was a time, it's now. We need to stay close to the heart of God. That his love will be shed abroad in our hearts. Amen. And that love will captivate you. His love will captivate you. Where you don't care about the lesser things anymore. They don't satisfy you anymore. The world doesn't satisfy you anymore when you know the love of God that surpasses all other loves. Jesus says, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your husband, your wife, your stuff? Do you love me more than anything? How many know that when you know the love of God, there's just nothing that compares to him? The Apostle Paul gave Timothy a description of the conditions that will exist in the world prior to the Lord's coming. And this description is really speaking of the spirit of Antichrist. You know, I was just watching, and some people were being interviewed on the street, and some of those that are in protests and you know, just complaining about this and that. And a lot of the people, if you listen to them, first of all, many of them don't even know why they're out there. They're just looking for identity somewhere. And so if the crowd's doing this, this must be what's happening. And, you know, because they don't know who they are, therefore they're going to search in the wrong place for identity. All right. But when he gave them this instruction in verse 2, he says, for men will be lovers of themselves. Yeah. Lovers of themselves. Meaning they're going to be self-centered, conceited, and egotistical. And Paul said these are the conditions that will characterize many people in the last days. And you know, I remember years ago, how many remember hearing the song by Whitney Houston, The Greatest Love of All? It says this, quote, everybody searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfills my needs. A lonely place to be. That's the world. And the love of the world. So I learned to depend on me. Learning to love yourself, she said, is the greatest love of all. How tragic. It saddens me to think that this poor woman never realized the greatest love of all was not in herself, but was in Jesus Christ, the love of God. The God who loved us that much. And people think if I could just love myself, then I can love others, and you know, the whole thing. You know, the problem is in us. It's not the solution. Well, I went through a period of time in my own life where I'm going to find myself. Have you everybody been on a journey to find yourself? And when I got a good look at myself, I didn't like what I saw. By the grace of God, he allowed me to see how rotten I was. Praise God. I said, Lord, I don't like who I am. Praise God. I want to be changed. I want you to change me, Lord. Forgive me. And he did. He gave me a new heart, a new beginning. And that old ugly part still drags along like a corpse behind us. Amen. But we got to keep that thing dead every day. Quit feeding that flesh. Amen. Feed your spirit. Be strong in the Lord. Amen. Abide in the love of God. Amen. And you'll have victory over that outer man, that sin nature every day. Hallelujah. God gives you everything you have need of to do that. Amen. You can't say, well, I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. You chose not to obey. You know, the focus of Satanism is the exaltation of self. Self-esteem, self-importance, self-gratification, self-indulgence. And it teaches us that we're to focus on building the human ego, humanism. One of their creeds is, do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law. Exactly the opposite of the commandments of God. Amen. We are to seek the will of God. And we are to submit ourselves to God. Amen. He made us. He knows what works. Amen. We always do better when we say, yes, Lord. Gallagher wrote in his book, Intoxicated with Babylon, he says, I do not think that most believers in our country realize the extent to which American culture has molded their viewpoints and personal opinions. We have been systematically indoctrinated to pursue the American dream with all our might while failing to recognize that the spirit of cosmos or of the world is driving our pursuit. You see, the enemy wants us to pursue temporary things. God wants us to seek the eternal. Amen. God wants us to store for ourselves treasure in heaven that will never fade or perish. Amen. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty good deal that God is allowing us, I mean, to share in his kingdom. Amen. So what we're doing now matters in eternity. How we spend our lives matters now, doesn't it? You don't want to, I say this often, but you don't want to invest in a bank that's going bankrupt. You don't want to get on a boat that's going to sink, amen? Get off that boat, amen, and get on the good ship Jesus, amen? And he'll carry you, hallelujah, through the waves and through it all, hallelujah. First John 2:15, how many know this? Do not love the cosmos, spirit of the world, nor the things it offers you, for when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. He's talking about the spirit of our age, that spirit that is influencing the masses of people. That's why people are doing insane things en masse. Why? Because if a person does not have a relationship with God, and if they're not abiding in the love of God, they're going to be swept away by the flood of this dispensation, all right? Of all that's happening right now in the world. We need to stay close to God, and we need to rely upon the grace of God on a daily basis, because you and I are not able to overcome ourself, the flesh, or the devil, except by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. It's by the power of God that we can overcome this world. And yet the world is saying, this is the way, walk in it. Do as thou wilt. It's all about you. You know, everybody gets a trophy now, right? Oh, you lost, but you still get a trophy. Nobody gets corrected now, you know. Oh, if that's all right for you, you want to go out and run a red light, go ahead. That's fine. That's, you know, who am I to judge? Well, until the accident happens, hello. How many know there are certain laws that are in place, right? And they're there to protect us. Hello. God gave us his word because he loves us and he wants us to be protected from a certain enemy that would like to destroy us. We get into the word of God, find out what pleases the Lord. Amen. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything that we see, a pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. The things that we see are temporary. The things that we have now, the positions, amen, the positions and the possessions that we have are all temporary. Amen. One day, even this building and everything we see around us, including these bodies, amen, they're going to perish. Hallelujah. But if you're in Jesus Christ, amen, if you're born of his spirit, you will receive a brand new body, a glorified body, amen, that will never corrupt, that will never get sick, that will never have pain, praise God. Lord, bring it, amen. It's coming, it's coming. This mortal will put on immortality, this corruptible will put on what? Incorruption. We'll have an incorruptible body, praise the Lord. But I remember, you know, sometimes you have people that are very affluent in life. But you know what? The day comes when they're going to take their last breath. And all the stuff is just going to go to somebody else or maybe go to the government. So what does it matter then? What matters is how you have lived your life now. That you have lived for the purpose of God, the will of God. Because the day is coming when everyone will see him. Every knee will bow to him. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ. And I want to hear the Lord say what? Well done. Good and faithful servant. Amen. That's what matters, is that we see Jesus smiling. Amen. That we put a smile on his face. Hallelujah. Why? Because we've walked in his footsteps. We lived as he lived in this world. And you cannot do that except that you depend upon the power of his Holy Spirit that he gives to us to help us in our journey. Amen. We have to be able to overcome ourselves. Amen. And when your heart is filled with the love of God, amen, you will love others. You will be willing to sacrifice for others. You'll be willing to give yourself away for others, because the love of God constrains, or Paul says, motivates me. Well, how could Paul suffer like he did? How could Paul go through the trials that he did, amen, and still keep on ticking, keep on going? Why? Because it was the love of Christ and the grace of God, amen, that was working in his heart to give him that desire both to will and to do of the pleasure of God. And each one of us have a different assignment in this world. You need to discover what that is. And you're not going to discover it just by looking into the textbook. Come on. You need to know the heart of the one who wrote the scriptures. Amen. You need a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And He will open the Word to you. And He will reveal to you who you are and what God's purpose is for your life. Amen. And then you set your hand to the plow. And you don't look back. Do you understand God is calling every one of us here to a surrendered life to the will of God? That's what we're called to. Because He wants to share His kingdom with us. He wants us to have an inheritance. That's what He wants. What does Satan represent? He represents indulgence instead of abstinence. That's why so many people are going into it. They're attracted to it. Because it offers them the lie that you can indulge your sinful flesh without any consequences. It basically says you are your own God and do whatever you want. And that's, of course, in direct contrast to what Jesus taught. I'm almost done, by the way. Luke 9:23. He said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him. Somebody say deny. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Now, I want to say this, and I know this may upset some. Hopefully nobody in this room. But you don't have to join a coven or attend a Satanist church to be a Satanist. You simply need to live your life according to His principles. See, there are many Satanist churches with crosses and steeples on the buildings. Oh, how do we know that? Because of what they teach, because of what they focus on. It's never to be a man-centered gospel. It is to be Christ-centered. We know they're satanic because of the message they preach. Whenever the focus is on exaltation of the human ego and not the denying of oneself, it is satanic. What does that mean? It's saying the same lie as Lucifer used in the beginning. You shall be as God. You'll be your own God. It's all about you. How many know that when Jesus came, He demonstrated to us what true love looks like? That's true love. No greater love has any man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. Amen. And yet He laid down His life for His enemies. That's the true love of Christ that was demonstrated for us at the cross. And whenever the message focuses on serving yourself and not Christ and others, it's satanic. God said, I will take care of your needs. I will provide for you. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. All those things, the heathen, the unbelievers, they worry about those things. But He said, quit worrying about those things. He said, but seek me above everything else. Seek my kingdom and my righteousness. And I'm going to take care of the rest. I'll take care of it. I can put you in the front of the line. I don't care if there's 30 resumes. I can put you in the front of the line. If you've got God's favor, He's going to open doors that no man can open and shut the door that no man can shut. All right. Your best life now. Somebody wrote a book, Your Best Life Now. Do you take a look at Jesus, His example. Why did He come? He came because He had a mission. He was sent from the Father with a mission for redemption of Adam's race. For all of us had fallen short of His glory and all of us were condemned. Amen? And so the only way to save us is to become like us, yet without sin. The only sinless one. So He qualified to be the sacrifice for the sins of the world. Jesus willingly laid down His life for us. And He went to that cross and God laid upon Him the iniquity of us all. For God so loved the world. He sacrificed everything. Suffered like no man ever suffered. Can you imagine the filth of the world being placed upon Him? And yet He did that for us. so that we could go free. Free for what? Free to live for the world? No, to free to live for Him now. For the rest of our life. Out of gratitude for everything He did for us. It's our reasonable service according to Romans 12. Amen? That we offer our bodies back to God. And this spirit of Antichrist is preparing the masses to receive the Antichrist. And many who claim to be Christians are already caught up in the deception. Who claim to be? 2 Thessalonians 2:9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He can do miracles too. And with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's why we need to pursue the Lord, pursue agape, pursue His heart. Amen. Because if you pursue Him, you know Him. You know what's of Him and what's not of Him. You know what's authentic power. Amen. And what is corrupted. Yes, you're not going to be duped by false, lying, counterfeit signs and wonders. Amen. If you're pursuing just signs and wonders, you can be deceived. But if you're pursuing Him and you know Him, you know the mind of Christ. You'll know what's of Him and what's not of Him. Amen. And Jesus said, if you come to Him, amen, and ask Him for bread, that's what you're going to get. You're not going to get a demon. Amen. So don't be afraid. Hallelujah. Open your heart wide and trust Him fully. You know, we've learned to shut down because we've been abused, we've been hurt, we've been taken advantage of in this world. And so we live a guarded life. Amen. But when it comes to the Lord, we've got to be open to the one that we can trust with all of our heart, to the God who already knows it all, who knows who we are in our secret heart, where we really live, not what maybe we show people, but who we are, who we really are. There's no secrets with God. Therefore, you might as well come and get clean with God and say, Lord, I'm just surrendering it all to You. You see it anyways. I don't want this junk in my life anymore. I want to be clean. Would you bow your heads? Hallelujah. Would you just take a moment with the Lord if there needs to be any kind of reconciling with Him? You heard the Lord speaking to you today. If He's been speaking to your heart about your own walk, your own life, maybe you've drifted away from the Lord. Maybe you find yourself kind of being indifferent and callous to about the things of God. And the love of God seems to be growing dim in your heart. God wants to re-fire you today. God wants to set you ablaze again today. He wants to restore you to that first love. He wants you to be in love with Him. He wants to be the number one in your life again. He wants you to simply turn to Him with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. Would you turn to the only one that can save you, the only one that can forgive you, the only one that can restore you, the only one that can restore you to fellowship with Him? Would you say, yes, Jesus, I want You more than anything, more than anyone. I need You, Lord. All I need is You, Jesus. Lord, I ask You to forgive me. I ask You to restore me to right fellowship with You again. Be the love of my life again. Be my number one again. Thank You, Jesus. You said, those who come to You, You would in no wise cast out. You would never reject us. Father, today I pray in Jesus' name, salvation and healing and deliverance in this house. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.